This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
And good morning to you, and happy Father's Day to you fathers out there. It's kind of wild to wish your son a happy Father's Day. Get to that point, but I wish and pray a blessing on all of you fathers. It's an awesome responsibility to be a dad in 2020, and not that it always hasn't been. But we're grateful to godly fathers and the influence that they will have on generations, the Bible says. A father's influence can be felt for generations. And I just pray that our collective dads on the phone this morning, that ours will be a wonderful testimony to our children. Not a perfection, but just as believers who have tried to do the best we can. Okay. So, hope you had your Bibles open this week to Psalm 46, and it's called a hymn of confidence. I'll share that with you, but I'd like to share some statistics with you. And it'll begin like this. Bury him in the snows of Valley Forge, and you have the George Washington. Raise him in abject poverty, and you have an Abraham Lincoln. Label him too stupid to learn, and you have a Thomas Edison. Tell her she's too old to start painting at 80, and you have a Grandma Moses. Have him or her born black in a society filled with racial discrimination, and you have Booker T. Washington, Harriet Tubman, Marian Anderson, George Washington Carver, or Martin Luther King. Make him the first child to survive in a poor Italian family of 18 children, and you have an Enrico Caruso. Afflict him with periods of depression so severe that he cut off his own ear, and you have a Vincent van Gogh. Tell a young boy who loved to sketch and draw that he has no talent, and you have a Walt Disney. And tell a young man from the rural South God could never use him to be pastors of the world, and you have a Billy Graham. There are so many forces that would keep us from ever reaching our God-given potential. Some of the things that keep us from that are fear, insecurity, doubt, and negative attitudes. Psalm 46 has been titled a Psalm of Holy Confidence, a psalm that reveals the hope God gives his children to keep on going, not to allow those kinds of things to defeat us, to delay us, to stop us, and to hold us back. It was written when Jerusalem was under siege by the Assyrian king Sennacherib. The psalm is a picture of successful defense against Israel's enemy. It's not about military victory over that enemy. See, the people of Israel were safe inside the walls of the city. On our faith journey, we will win some battles and lose some. But God promises, come what may, we can have confidence in him to see us through because we are safe in him. Now let's read together the 11 verses of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease upon the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still. Verse 10. Be still, and know that I am God. Boy, what a great phrase for you and me to remember. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God in the whizzing whirl of your daily life. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. So let's break the chapter down, these 11 verses, and let's begin in verse 1, where it reads, God is our refuge and strength for the believer. Our protection is not about armies or tanks or smart bombs or a revolver or castles or impenetrable fortresses or bunkers. Proverbs 18:10. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is saved. We are only safe. We are only strong when we're in the Lord and the power of His might. All other sources of safety and security are unsafe and unsecure. Just think about all the things we thought were certain, all the things we counted on, all the things that we thought were for sure forever. When's the last time you went into a restaurant to have a meal? You can't even get into a bank here in New Jersey. I don't know what it's like elsewhere. So many places that we just had such easy access, our life was so different before this pandemic, and I insist, before this panic and this fear set in, that immobilized us. We thought things were a certain way. And then our life was turned upside down. This is what we're talking about this morning. There was a recent spate of violent weather, including tornadoes, hitting the heartland of America. Houses were blown down. Schools were smashed. Churches and auditoriums were crushed. Tractor trailers were blown around like toys. Before the tornadoes, they seemed unmovable. After the tornadoes, they were just splinters blowing in the wind. Bible says God alone is our refuge and strength. He is our defense in any and all of life's crises. Do you believe that? Verse 1 says, He, God, is a very present help in trouble. He never runs away when trouble comes. He's not just present, He's very present. That verse there reminds me, you know, He never runs away when trouble comes. Of firemen. My dad was a fireman back in New York City. And he would often talk about when everybody else was running out of the burning building, he and the other firemen were running into the burning building. God does not abandon you when your life is on fire. He's not just present. He's, it says, very present. He's more present than a friend. Friends can fail and walk away, and they do. And they can. But that verse that says, Jesus never fails. Underline that in your thinking. Jesus never fails. He's more present than family. Some families disappoint. But the Bible says Jesus remains closer than a brother. Jesus is more there than the trouble is there. He's more near than the danger. He's more powerful than the storm. And He's more real than the reality of your situation. As a Christian, you have Christ in your heart. And because of His presence, your troubles and your trials are limited. They can't do all the things that you think they can do. They can't steal His love. They can't shatter your hope. They can't corrode your faith. They can't destroy your peace. They certainly can't take away your salvation. They can't lock you out of your home in heaven or conquer the Holy Spirit living in you. I say praise God to all of that. It's limited what your troubles can do. It's limited what your circumstance can do. It really depends on what you let it do. Let God prevail. Let His Spirit prevail. Allow Him to help you put the problems you're going through in perspective by seeing things eternal. Verses 2 and 3, it starts out with the word therefore. And that word therefore means because of what preceded, because of the facts I just stated. You see, facts transcend feelings. Right now, you may not be feeling too good about yourself. But the fact is that God loves you unconditionally. the fact that when he looks down on you, he sees Jesus in you. It says, therefore, we will not fear. You have something to do with that. Verses 2 and 3 tells us there are four times not to fear. Four times not to fear. Look at those verses. If the earth is removed, if the mountains are carried into the sea. I know these are extremes, right? If the waters are a torrential flood, not too far removed from where people are going through around the country. If an earthquake shakes the very mountains, if the earth is removed, if the mountains carried into the sea, if the waters are a torrential flood, if the earthquake shake the very mountain. In other words, if your world turns upside down and inside out, you can call out to God for help. In the middle of a tornado or some other natural catastrophe, we pray that God will keep our fear under control so that we can have the clear presence of mind as to know what to do to find safety. Fear has the power to close your mind and get you to stop thinking. But God's power is greater to open the mind. Fear is a tyrant, and God is its master. Fear blinds us to what's real and what's a product of our frightened mind. God opens our eyes to see that many times fear, and I love this, this is not original, fear, F-E-A-R, is false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. Fear fills our heads with fearful thoughts. And those thoughts can keep us from hearing the still, small voice of God saying, verse 10, remember, be still and know that I am God. If your mind is in such a turmoil and the winds of doubt are blowing through your head, you will miss God's small voice giving you that secret sense of peace. I remember, and I've said this to the congregation many, many times, I remember one of the footballs on the Dallas Cowboys team, a guy, he was a short guy, I forget what his name is, black ball player. And he said, when they asked him how he was so successful at smashing through all of these defensive players while he was on the offense, they said, how did you do that? They have all these big guys and you're a little guy. What is it that allows you to do that? He said, I keep looking for the light. He said, if I see a pinprick of light between those big guys, I go for that and I smash my way through it. God has given you and me a pinprick of light through these difficult circumstances, and you've got to drive through to break down those giants. The poet William Wordsworth wrote this, quote, what are fears but voices airy, whispering harm where harm is not, and deluding the unwary till the fatal blow is shot, bolt is shot. In other words, it goes back to something I preached a couple of weeks ago. 95% of what you worry or fear doesn't happen. The last word in verse 3 is the word Selah, S-E-L-A-H. It's sort of like a rest note in a piece of music. It means to pause. Pause. In other words, reflect on what you just heard. Take a deep breath. When fear overtakes, break the rush of confused emotions. You call out to God for quiet in the discordant sounds. You take a time out and find a verse that speaks to you, and then you meditate on it. You don't just keep plunging headlong down the same track you're on. I've said to some people recently when I've counseled, change the channel. You're thinking along a certain track. Change the thinking. Redirect your thoughts. Don't continue in this vein. Oh, that's so hard. Yes, it's so hard. It's so difficult. Yes, it's so difficult. But is it impossible? No. With God's help, nothing is impossible. Verse 4, it says, there is a river. Isaiah 33:21 reads, but there, and in parenthesis I write, in the midst of chaos and trials, troubles and pain, entanglement and stress, but there, the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams. These words create mental images that can be a source of comfort to encourage you. Think about that. That's what a lot of these verses are. They paint a mental picture of quiet streams meandering their way through a green pasture on a sunlit summer day. And you're just listening to the pleasant ripple. How peaceful is that? How comforting is that? If you're an artist like Scott Affleck, you paint those kinds of beautiful pictures that he paints. So in the middle of your tumult, in the middle of your emotional white waters, God will bear you up on his gentle, easy-flowing, spiritually refreshing waters. This is the comfort that only the Holy Spirit is capable of bringing to the believers. Now, Jesus described that work, that particular work of the Holy Spirit, this way in John 14:26-27. John 14:26-27. He said this, but the Comforter. I love that idea that the Holy Spirit is, that one of his primary jobs is to bring comfort when you're not feeling comforted. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, part of the job of the Holy Spirit in comfort is to bring the words of Scripture to you, to bring help to you and encouragement. And in the place of that kind of meditation, there's a peace that comes that you can't get through positive thinking that comes from some man-made philosophy. It's something that works in your spirit. Verse 5 of our text, it says, the Lord is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. Operative word there is move, not be moved. So God's help is never far away. He's right there in the middle. Hope is not by and by in the sky. Help and hope are here and now. If your enemies of fear and worry want to move you, guess what, folks? They're going to have to move God first. If they want to destroy you, they're going to have to destroy God first. If they want to break you, they're going to have to break God first. If they want to bring you down, they're going to have to bring God down first. So my question to you is, who can move God? Who can destroy God? Who can break God? Who can bring God down? And I hope you're saying in your heart of hearts, no one and nothing. Verse 6 says, so let the heathen rage. So let doubt in your life cry out. Let fear assail. Let anger beat its chest. Let hopelessness attack. Let loneliness knock at your door. Let the wolves of despair nip at your heels. And let anxiety and depression, sorrow and pain work their way because they are defeated already. They don't have to have a grip on your throat. They don't have to be standing on you and holding you down. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that's emotional. Defeatism, fear, anxiety. You know, we've been talking about those for a while. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord and the righteousness of me, saith the Lord. So, it is your emotional and spiritual enemies who must move. It is they who are in confusion. It is they who will be destroyed. It is their power and might that are frustrated and melted because they have fallen at the sound of God's voice. When Jesus speaks, the Bible makes clear, strongholds are torn down, demons are cast out, tormented minds are given rest, the sick are healed, the blind can see, the lame can walk, the deaf can hear, the dumb can speak, and Satan is defeated. He's done all of that. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with you. How personal is this? Our God, the God of Scripture, the God of Isaac and Jacob and Abraham, the God of the New Testament, is with you. He's personal. You're his child. You are a child of a king. So you don't let Satan get a foothold in your life. You don't let him find his way into your marriage or sit at your dinner table. You don't let him have your affections, your fears, or 1 minute of your day. Tell him in the name of Jesus to get behind you and stay there. Verses 8 and 9. Behold the works of the Lord. I'm reminded of the scene in the movie Ten Commandments when the Red Sea before them and the Pharaoh's chariots are behind them. Moses raises his staff over the sea and says, behold the hand of the Lord. And we know the story. The sea rolls back. The children walk across on dry ground. And Pharaoh's army is subsequently swallowed up as the sea closes over them. You see, that's because God is a God of justice and judgment. Evil will not prevail. Sin will not persist. And the darkest hours will give way to eternal sunrise. Verse 9 says something very interesting. It says the day will come when wars will cease. Isaiah 2, verse 4. This is written outside of the United Nations at Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza. It's up there in stone. Isaiah 2, 4. He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That's not going to happen because of the United Nations. It's not going to happen because of man's efforts for peace. In a day, sometime in the future, the nations will wage a final war precipitated by conflict in the Middle East. Weapons of mass destruction will take their positions as a diabolical finger is about to press the doomsday button that destroys the entire planet. At that precise moment, God will intervene. Jesus Christ will establish a reign of peace upon the earth. That day will come. Only God's sheltering and loving hand keeps that final day from coming today. The Bible says it's because he's not willing that anyone should perish, that people should die without Jesus, that people should be condemned to hell. God doesn't want that. Though the mills of God grind exceedingly fine, we are reminded by James Russell Lowell's words that Christ will create that new day. He writes it this way, truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future, and behind the dim unknown stands God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. Verse 11 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. When the storms of life are raging, there's an old gospel song that says, when the storm of life is raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, remember the Lord of the universe, your defender, your preserver, your refuge, and your strength. He is with you. And if this God before you, who can be and what can be against you? Selah. Pause. Meditate upon these things. And God bless you. And let's pray. Father, we pray that these words taken from Scripture, line by line, verse by verse, word by word, might be used by the Holy Spirit to bring somebody comfort today. somebody encouragement today, somebody confidence today to keep on keeping on. There are folks on the line here who are tired. There are folks on the line here who are sick. There are folks who on this line are angry and upset and disappointed and discouraged. But, Lord, you're greater than all that. And I pray that something has been said to encourage, to bring confidence in you and your word, to strengthen our grip and our hold on our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ today and tomorrow and forever. And it is his name that we pray in confidence. Amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you again. Bye-bye.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.